So now I would like you to introduce the uncontested item, please.
Yes. So item six is a consideration of a resolution adopting the Monterey County Local Area Management Program, or LAMP for short, for implementation of the State On-Site Wastewater Treatment System, or OTS, often referred to as the OTS policy. And this is by resolution R3-2018-0004. Item six is uncontested and presents Monterey County's local agency management program for board approval. The Monterey County LAMP presents how the county will ensure new, existing, and replacement septic systems meet the minimum performance standards and criteria of the on-site wastewater treatment system policy. And I just want to add a comment here, a positive note, is this item is on consent due to successful collaboration between our staff and the county staff. Typically, there is a lot of back and forth that occurs in this process. It's not a rubber stamp by any stretch. There are tense and heated discussion oftentimes. And what comes out in this case and in the prior LAMP are, I think, good outcomes. Okay, that's all I have.
So any comments from my colleagues, Mr. Johnston?
Yeah, I have a number of comments on this. I'm not sure if it's the only item on the consent agenda, so I guess it doesn't really matter if we remove it or not from the consent agenda. I'm not sure what's appropriate here. I see Jessica searching for a microphone.
They tried to keep me quiet today.
That's a task.
At this point, we should probably officially pull it and mark it as no longer on the consent calendar at this point.
Okay. I had a number of concerns. My first concern is that this is the second LAMP that we've considered. We approved a Santa Barbara LAMP some time ago. And the board had some extensive discussion on that LAMP when it was in its developmental stages. And one of the issues that we dealt with was areas where there are groundwater contamination being caused by failing on-site wastewater treatment systems. And the not atypical problems that counties and in some cases cities have dealing with those, because it frankly, in some cases, dealing with those problems requires the county to make some of its voting citizens spend a bunch of money to upgrade their systems, and that's always a difficult thing in a government run by electeds. And the solution that came out in the Santa Barbara LAMP, which I thought was pretty elegant, was that if there were, and I'm going to quote briefly from the language here in the Santa Barbara LAMP, essentially it gave the water board the ability to designate groundwater basins or sub-basins. If the Central Coast Water Board, I'm quoting, identifies a groundwater basin or sub-basin in the county where the use of on-site wastewater treatment systems is causing or contributing to the exceedances of nitrate or pathogen maximum contaminant levels, then, and I know I'm not quoting anymore, but then the county would develop a plan to deal with it in consultation with and approved by the water board. And so it essentially took that first step of saying, no, this is something that has to be dealt with, out of the hands of the electeds in the counties and put it in the hands of the region and then hand it back to the county in cooperation with us, the question of how to deal with it. And this was for situations where, and I believe we talked about a couple of specific situations, I think Los Olivos was one in Santa Barbara County, where the on-site wastewater treatment systems were we're contributing to groundwater contamination. Now, what we, I'm going to say decided, although that word has a lot of different kinds of legal meanings, the sense of the board out of that was that we wanted to require similar language in each of the LAMPs. Now, I'm looking at 4.7 of this LAMP, which is the one that deals with that area, and there are a couple things that concern me about it. First of all, in the first paragraph of 4.7, and I'm on page 57 of 122, if you're looking at your copy of the Monterey County proposed LAMP. And the first paragraph says, it references water bodies that have been listed as impaired due to nitrogen or pathogen subject to 303D. The Santa Barbara LAMP made no such reference. Because the Santa Barbara LAMP was essentially focused on groundwater basins and sub-basins that were impacted by on-site wastewater treatment systems, not on surface water bodies. And then the next paragraph says, if a water body in the county, and I'm reading from the Monterey proposed LAMP, is designated by the Central Coast Water Board as impaired or significantly degraded as a result of on-site wastewater treatment systems, the county will develop an advance, and the rest of it is fine, because it says it'll be developed in close consultation with the board, and may include, it's not limited to requirements for supplemental treatment systems, existing systems, and mandatory routine inspections as determined by the Central Coast Board. So it's a little fuzzier than the Santa Barbara one, but the key question that concerns me here is, what a plain reading of this seems to really only apply to water bodies, to surface waters, and the whole point of the principal point of the Santa Barbara, of the language in the Santa Barbara LAMP was to deal with impacted groundwater basins and sub-basins. So I'd kind of like to hear from staff on this, and then I have a couple of other questions.
Sure, yes. Jennifer Applewood. Excuse me. Jennifer App. And I think what the key distinction here is that the language that you were talking about in 4.7 is not the language that talks about the degraded groundwater basins. 4.7 is focused on the surface water. It's 4.6 that you would want to look at. So the language that you were referring to in the Santa Barbara LAMP was titled On-Site Wastewater Treatment Systems in Degraded Basins. And almost identical language from the Santa Barbara LAMP, Santa Barbara LAMP is also in the Monterey LAMP, but that's section 4.6. And so you are correct. 4.7 deals with surface water. 4.6 deals with the groundwater.
Well, now I feel like an idiot. No, you're right. I'm looking at that language, and that language is very closely tracks the Santa Barbara language.
Yeah. And you will see the language contained in 4.6 as well as 4.7 in all LAMPs going forward as well. The language that you see in 4.7 comes from the OTS policy, and so that will be in all of our LAMPs that we'll bring to you for approval. And then the language of 4.6, which is the language that you guys developed for the Santa Barbara LAMP, will also be in our future LAMP approvals too.
Okay.
So,
you want to go and then come back to me?
Correct. So, you know, in my case, the procedure gives me pause, because this LAMP was presented to the Board of Supervisors for their approval with basically under the umbrella that this met staff's recommendations. However, a LAMP requires board approval. So I think this was the cart before the horse. And the Board of Supervisors should not vote on an item which is basically a draft proposal from, you know, an approval from staff. So the process should have been, you know, bringing this to us, we discuss it, or if we didn't have any question, it becomes consent agenda. Then it goes to the Board of Supervisors for their approval because it's a finished product. So right now, frankly, the Board of Supervisors voted on something which has not been approved by the Regional Water Board.
Right. So I agree with that statement. I want to be clear that staff, our staff, communicated to county staff that board approval was still pending. There was still another step in the process that staff had consented to what was in the LAMP, but the board approval still was out there. I agree with your suggestion about the sequencing. If the Board of Supes wants to approve an interim LAMP, it has to understand it's an interim or it's a preliminary LAMP. It still requires this board's approval. And then it seems as though the Board of Supervisors would then need to approve the final LAMP as approved by this board.
Yeah, I think also from an efficiency standpoint, usually Board of Supervisors' agendas are pretty packed.
Yeah, and they only want to see it
once. It would make a whole lot more sense to do this thing once rather than, you know, approve a draft and then have to come back. Anyway, I think we're on the same page for that. So I'm going to let Mr. Johnson continue his questions.
So on that note, would we ask the Board of Supervisors now to vote again on now that it's finalized, now that it's been approved by this board?
Yeah, I think so.
This is Cecile with the Water Board, and Monterey County representatives, I did briefly speak with them, and they are ready to amend any portion of the LAMP if necessary.
Okay, or even if we approve it as written, I suppose,
right.
Then they vote to finalize. The other concern that this raised for me, and this is modestly off topic, is when we, in the aftermath of that discussion in Santa Barbara, we had a board discussion about, okay, so how do we designate a groundwater basin or sub-basin as being impacted, and agreed that we needed some sort of a protocol to do so. And I asked the other day where we were on that and was basically told that we were in the same place we were, which is, and that the kind of the view was we needed to do a basin plan amendment to do that, and we just went through priorities for basin plan amendments, and that's a slow and expensive undertaking. And I guess I just want to ask the question, you know, is it necessary to do a basin plan amendment? Can we just set up a process? Because this seems to be something, I mean, I understand we need a process, and we can't just tell counties they have to move heaven and earth and homeowners have to spend all kinds of money without real documented basis for doing so. But it's not clear to me that we have to do a basin plan amendment.
So I'm going to suggest that I want to talk with Jessica about that a little bit and then come back to you with a response to that. The idea being that we want to be efficient with the base planning resources and try to reflect that triennial review list, the prioritization established in the triennial review list. And also, in the designation of a groundwater area, we want to make it as reasonably cost-effective as possible. So if we don't have to do a basin plan amendment, let's not. But that's a conversation I want to have with Jessica first.
Okay, so we'll hear back on that. Thank you.
Ms. Gray?
Thank you. I just have a general question related to AB 885 and LAMPs, recognizing that LAMPs are voluntary, but how are we working across jurisdictional boundaries to get, you know, water quality addressed? Because I'm not sure that it's even between one jurisdiction and another. and I'll just call out Santa Barbara, for example, because there's a Ventura County line. We have a two regional water quality control boards, particularly in the Rincon area. I know there's been some upgrades, and then on the other side of the where we don't regulate, there haven't been any upgrades, and that's just problematic because the water's the water. So I just wanted to get some clarification on that.
So are you asking about how a lamp that might cover two different regional boards is being handled, or
if there's a lamp in one and not in the other, and then if there's two different regional boards that split that jurisdiction?
Yeah, so for each of the counties that do cross a regional boundary, the OTS policy identified which regional board was going to take the lead. And so, for example, Santa Clara County is an example of that, where we have a portion of it in our region, but it's primarily in Region 2. And so the OTS policy identified that Region 2 would take the lead, and we worked with them on it and made sure that both boards were in agreement, but they took the lead.
So
does that answer your question, or?
I think your question was getting at kind of the converse of that, where a watershed is split in half by a jurisdiction. Ventura and Santa Barbara County share the Rincon watershed,
correct,
for example. And what's the communication across that watershed, you know, on our part with the other regional board and potentially Ventura County, because that potentially affects the groundwater basin, that small little groundwater basin there, or the surface water quality there. So is there discussion?
Thanks for clarifying my muddled question.
No, I got it.
So
is there discussion at the round table about how to deal with those shared watersheds?
I think there has been some discussion. I was not involved with when we approved the Santa Barbara lamp. We do have people here that were, but so I don't know what the coordination was specifically for Santa Barbara when that happened.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that there was coordination.
Do you know?
On this current effort, but it sounds like there might need to be more active coordination on these issues.
Right, some communication maybe between the regions. There's actually a nuance to your question too that I'll dive into. In some cases, municipalities regulate septic systems in our region. Two that come to mind are City Santa Barbara and City of Atascadero. There's probably others too. And in some of those cases, the city is attempting to develop a lamp. We're working with them. Cecilia's working with them. In other situations, and Harvey can back me up here, is we're maybe encouraging is too strong a word, encouraging the city of Santa Barbara to talk with the county, and maybe they outsource their wastewater permitting to the county, and it falls under that lamp, you know, effectively falls under the rules of that lamp, so to speak. So that's another coordination nuance that I don't know that that's what you're going at, but same kind of.
It is sort of
breakdown.
What I'm going at. I feel like sometimes there's communication that's just, there's lots of nodules and we're not just always connecting the dots. And so just want to ensure that we're doing that. And I'm happy to hear that happened in this situation. So, thanks.
You know, another example that, you know, I highlighted when we had the brief on this particular item is that currently there is not a differentiation between commercial on-site water treatment systems and residential aside of the gallonage, particularly when properties do change hand. You know, can see the value perhaps with single family dwellings, you know, to let the due diligence of the new owners take place. But if you take commercial facilities, you have a coffee shop or a restaurant, or you have a gas station with a on-site system to the public, I can give you examples that are still fresh in my mind of a couple of years ago where we had a restaurant which was in the, generically I will say it's in the northern part from here, coastal area, and this was really complaint driven. And when we dug into this, so to speak, a little bit more, it was a total failure of a system, yet it had changed hands. And so then came a whole effort. In fact, we had discussions and hearing on this particular topic. So I think having the, you know, voluntary approach as it is stands right now for commercial facilities and, you know, sort of fuzzy wording that it is, you know, it is voluntary for a new commercial property owner to do due diligence. I think we're failing a little bit in some of the effort. You know, you have a lot of these rural areas where you have systems that are 30 year old, 40 years old, you know, so I think that should be elevated, maybe having a little stronger language. I don't know what our authority is to make it a specific requirement, but I think we could have enhanced a little bit, have what I'll call a more robust, you know, set of recommendations for that lamp. So the long and the short, without dragging this item, I think it's unfinished business. Mr. Robertson, your suggestion then on this particular item,
So I want to be clear, is the board directing additional work to be done on this a lamp? Our view is that, by and large, the lamp is appropriate and adequately comprehensive. We understand the some of the suggested tune-ups that we could do, and we can talk with this county and all the subsequent counties and cities that are coming forward with their lamps, too, about adding these items in that we've heard about. But I think at this point, our staff's recommendation would be to approve this lamp and allow the County of Monterey to continue in the role of permitting of the large number of wastewater systems that they currently permit and monitor.
So, you know, one of the questions I had yesterday is, what's the duration of a lamp approval? And the answer is, it's in perpetuity. There's no timeline. So this lamp could last 2 decades. However, the staff has the discretion to make recommendation and changes.
Right, and there's also a required monitoring report back period, and I'll turn to Cecile to maybe add some detail to that. But I'm envisioning that's a feedback loop that we can continually improve where we see the lamp to be inadequate. Otherwise, why have the reporting in?
That's correct. Just like your waste discharge permits, where we would receive a quarterly or an annual report, the counties are required to submit an annual report, not just submitting numbers and data of what's worked, what hasn't worked, but also a summary of you know, their assessment of the data, if there's any groundwater being impacted or any water sources being impacted on an annual basis. And then every 5 years, there's a reassessment of the lamp itself, just like the OTS policy, you know, you have to go back to it and revisit the policy. So each lamp every 5 years does go through that revisionary stage, just like an NPDES permit.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
And John Biar, I can also touch a little bit about your concern about the commercial facilities, if you'd like. Would that be useful? So in general, the OTS policy primarily deals with domestic wastewater. So what the Water Board is essentially delegating the authority to these local agencies is really mostly to do with the domestic. Anything that has a high strength BOD or a high flow has to come to us. So the commercial facilities that you're talking about would not be permitted by the local entity. They would be permitted by us, and we can put whatever requirements we want in those permits that we issue to those larger commercial facilities that really do need to be handled at a higher level.
So theoretically, you know, I have a little gas station out of town, and I have a little store, and I have public restrooms as required. I'm selling my gas station to another party. How do you know about it?
There wouldn't be, if the gas station just has a restroom and that's what the septic is on, there would not be a mechanism for us to be notified about that. If it was a larger commercial operation, you know, we do have some fairly significant commercial sites that are on septic. That is something that would be handled through us.
Yeah, I don't want to beat this thing too hard, but you know, a lot of people, including myself, stop at gas station with other purposes beyond filling my tank. You know.
Emptying
your tank. I was kind of letting you. Thank you. So I'd like to hear from my colleague where you want to go from here.
Yeah, I just think it's back to that communication. I mean, we have records. I mean, counties and cities have records of septic systems, and so I think it's just worth it to audit that information or establish some sort of communication with cities and counties that are regulating these to ensure that there's a flow of communication, bad word, but that there's communication between all entities that are regulating this so that we have our pulse on what's going on.
I think I would add that I think the Santa Barbara lamp, you know, got a lot of attention and kind of a spotlight on it, and certain dimensions of that, you know, there was resistance from the realtor groups to require reporting on transaction sales on the condition of septics. And I think we accommodated that in a particular way or through language, but I would like to think that now that the Santa Barbara lamp has been in place and we're launching to a second one and we have some in the pipeline, that we start to look at those areas that we could anticipate need strengthening, and that the language over time and as people become more familiar with the lamp, how it's structured, what it actually requires, that it may be at this point that the realtor community may not be as concerned as they were on the first round. And so I think strengthening that language, and in particular, I think Chair Wolf's comments about commercial property, however small of scale it is, I think it's a dimension of the property's history and potential for liability for the new owner. And I'm not familiar enough with the transaction of commercial property, how and where that type of information might already be conveyed, but certainly would be a good point to gain some clarity. And if we can begin to develop stronger language, maybe not to the point of requiring, and I don't know, we have what kind of authority we have. I think somebody else brought that up, but we have people here that do know what our authority is. And so I would like to see these particular issues that we have questions about revisited and possibly changing over time so that we don't leave these gaps just in perpetuity just because the first one had it. The first one was the model and a best effort, and maybe the second one is improved in certain ways and so on and so forth, so that eventually, and thank you, Cecile, for clarifying that there is review on a 5-year period. I did not understand that either. So that we might bring all of them up a little bit each time, and and so we're being responsive to stakeholder concerns, but we're also meeting our own required goals in protecting groundwater. So that would be my thought.
Monica, are you proposing that we should send this one back for those kinds of changes, or that we should approve this one and look down the road 5 years?
Yes, the latter. I am okay with approving this one, but I think that knowing that we have others in the pipeline, that we have the opportunity then to strengthen the language and then catch up with Santa Barbara and Monterey as we bring these all into conformance, so that I understand my understanding was that this one is identical to Santa Barbara, and to the extent that it can be, that Monterey may have some unique little dimensions to it. But that's our goal, is that the lamps are all going to have very similar kinds of requirements and monitoring requirements and reporting requirements, as well as various ways in which we serve our stakeholders through this program. And that would be, I think, how I would look at it.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that. And I just want to tease that out a little bit more. So what I think I hear the board saying is that the Santa Barbara lamp serves as sort of the foundation or the floor. And then as we work through the remainder, we'll nuance in some of these points you've identified as additional complementary pieces in the subsequent lamps, but that the Santa Barbara County lamp is kind of the floor of expectation or where we start. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and then I have a procedural question for Ms. Jar. Make full use of your presence in the next couple of days, is since we pulled this item out of the, you know, being uncontested and possibly we'd have a vote and there's been discussion, this does not necessarily trigger giving the opportunity to the Monterey, you know, to being able to comment?
Anyone can comment on this item. So if there are any public comments on this item, they can be heard.
And therefore, if Monterey had the choice of being here for the lamp and has elected, I didn't see any speaker cards from Monterey, so I can assume that we meet, you know, our good faith efforts of including public comments and Monterey comments as well, if they had chosen to do so.
You may want to ask if there are any comments on this, just in case there are, but they are here, so I'm assuming if they had any issues with it, they would be coming forward.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to clarify, so my understanding of the way that, of the implication of pulling it off the consent agenda is that were we to propose changes to the resolution, then the vote on that would have to be postponed to a subsequent meeting in order to allow for parties to know that there was, that they had a right to come and comment. Is that correct?
We don't have that language in our agendas. Sometimes that language is added, that if an item is pulled and there are changes, it would be changed. I do recommend, especially if the party is not present, that we delay it and do it at another meeting, because if we are making changes, that party should be notified. But it's not required under our agenda.
Thank you.
I'm prepared to go forward with the staff recommendation. I think we have an understanding, though, that both in terms of what Board Member Hunter expressed and also about using Santa Barbara as a floor, as John Robertson stated. And also, I think we have an understanding that we will ask, if the resolution passes, we will then ask the board to vote on finalizing, the Monterey County Board of Supervisors to vote on finalizing, because the sequence is important. Is that correct?
Yes, and making sure that in all future lamps, this is very clearly related to the applicable parties, that if they voted on an item, this is not the final version, because the Regional Water Board has not voted on it. So we have a good understanding for the future.
So I would just make the caveat that if there aren't any changes to this lamp, then it stands as previously approved by the Board of Supes. The subsequent, you know, a future approval by the Board of Supes is then just symbolic, and it's not substantive. So if this board doesn't change this lamp, then the Monterey County Board of Supervisors doesn't need to approve it but noted the sequencing for future lamps also.
Okay, we're clear on that, so.
And I think the message is that the process, the sequence is important because the fact that they've approved it does not mean that it can't be changed. And I think that may be, thinking politically, that might be an area that could be misunderstood. And I think that would be unfortunate because typically we have very cooperative processes in these lengthy planning efforts for permits, and we want to maintain those good relationships and good communication, clarity of our role as well as their authority. And often, you know, there is competition between who has the authority for what. So I think that's another dimension of this issue.
It is a little bit of a chicken and egg question, because if we change it, then they have to go back and vote. On the other hand, if we vote first and then they change it, then we have to come back and vote. So either way.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm going to look for a motion.
I will move to approve.
I'll second.
Any further comment, discussion? I see none. So I would like to make a roll call, please.
Dr. Wolf?
Approved.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Cervantes? Mr. Delgado? Ms. Gray?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Young? Thank you.
All right, so approved. Thank you. And at this time, we'll take a 15-minute break and reconvene at 20 to 11. Thank you.